When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Strange Familiars.
Are you starting over?
I think we should.
All right, go ahead, start it.
You start it. Okay. Like, people need that consistency.
I'm leaving that part in. Welcome to Strange Familiars. If you've seen something strange or unusual...
Other than the same family members you've seen for the last month.
Something paranormal, a cryptid, a UFO, a ghost story, and you want to share your story on the podcast, you can email us. strangefamiliarspodcast@gmail.com.
Fun fact, or question rather, do you need to socially distance from ghosts in your house?
No.
Okay.
Ghosts, you can interact with ghosts. The aliens have the cure for COVID-19, and Bigfoot can't get it.
Because he already had it, and he has a certain amount of herd immunity because it's a very small herd.
Yes.
Is it a herd of Bigfoot?
No. I don't know what the collective noun for Bigfoot is. I did, however, establish the collective noun for albatwitches.
What is it?
It is a whistle of albatwitches.
Oh.
I coined that term, and forever that shall be what it is. So, last week we essentially did three episodes, like two patron episodes and the regular episode, and I wanted to do two episodes for everybody as well, and I wanted to do that this week, but I kind of aggravated a repetitive strain issue that I have from editing podcasts, essentially. So I had to pull back. So this week we're doing one episode. We're going to try to get back to doing more content for everybody. During the sequester, we're conscious of how much everybody likes that. And we like it too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it does
literally
help.
Yeah, it literally helps us to focus on creative things. So hopefully we will get back to that next week. But this week is just going to be this regular show on Thursday here to give my arm a bit of a rest. And tonight we're going to talk to two folks. First, we're going to talk to Rick, who has stories of Flannel Man, Lechuza, shadow figures, and ghosts. And then a little bit later, we'll be talking with Ed, who has more shadow people, other creepy experiences in a house on Cape Cod. He's got stories of exploring some of those really cool abandoned mental hospitals in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, we actually went in one of those before.
Yeah. And disembodied laughter and sleep paralysis is all kinds of creepy stuff. We'll be talking to Ed in the second part of the show.
Is the one that we toured before? Toured? Is the one that we trespassed on? Is that still... Did they tear that down?
I think they turned it into apartments, of all things.
I thought they toured it. We'll have to look that up. But it was the Northampton State... not museum. The Northampton State Mental Institute?
Yeah, they might have called it an asylum at the time. I'm not sure.
Well, my favorite part of that was it's the first time I ever saw a community garden, because right in the patch right next to that, there was a community garden. I'd never seen one before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Massachusetts was ahead of Pennsylvania on that front.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, let's go ahead and talk to Rick. We'll hear his stories. So tonight we're talking with Rick, who has a Flannel Man account and a couple other things we want to talk about. like, because it's Strange Familiars, please, let's start with the Flannel Man story.
All right. Well, I was coming home from DJing one night. It was about 2-3 in the morning. I'm going down a road. The road that I'm going down, there's a lot of bars down the street. So I'm driving, and I see a guy with a red flannel shirt and blue jeans, dark face on the right-hand side. I didn't think much of it because it was cold that night, foggy. So I'm driving, go up about a quarter mile, see him again on my left. Same dress, same build, dark face as well. See him again on my right, another quarter mile or so, see him on my left. And then right when I'm getting to the main highway, I'm going to exit, I look out my right-hand side, and he's right there by my car door. I didn't really get a good look at him. His face is still dark, red flannel shirt, blue jeans. I just punched it, got on the highway as quick as I could.
What time of night was this?
About 3 in the morning.
Wow. Had you taken this route home before?
Oh, plenty of times. I've been all out in the country. I've been everywhere. I've been down darker roads. This road it's well lit. There's bars like every so many stops down that street. That's just like the spot. So I was telling my cousin about it. She's kind of a medium, so she sees a lot of stuff, and she has a lot of stuff going on at her house all the time. But yeah, I told her about it. She's like, oh, maybe it's just a spirit just wandering around. I was like, yeah, true. Because it's the South Side, San Antonio. So I was like, eh, Spanish like their flannels. So I was like, yeah.
When you say his face was dark, was it in shadow or the dark skin?
No, it was just the face was dark. Like it was a shadow. Like a shadow face. Like it was darker than the background behind it. Like you say it a lot of the time here, when you're talking about shadow people, it's darker than the night behind it. That's how it kind of showed me.
Oh, wow. So you couldn't see hair color or features or anything?
It didn't make no facial features, just a black shadow for a head.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was crazy that night.
Then about how many years ago was that?
Oh, man. About 8 years ago.
Eight years ago. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Was it normal to see anyone walking along that route?
Well, bars were letting out about 2:00. I was thinking maybe it was a worker from the bar. I was like, maybe he's just walking home. The first time I saw the guy, then I saw him again on my left. I'm like, yeah, I've been driving nonstop. He shouldn't make it up here that fast.
Right. Yeah, that's the really weird part. Well, other than the black face head, but
yeah. So I was just like, I was like, he was kind of off in the grass on the side of the road. So I was just like, all right, whatever. Just kept on driving. Saw him again on my left. I'm like, all right, that's creepy. Saw him again on my right. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, I need to speed up a little bit more. Saw him again on my left. I'm like, definitely need to get off this road. And right when I'm going to get on the highway, I was just like, yeah, there you are again. Bye.
Wow. So was it like minutes between each time you saw him or?
Yeah, it was minutes. Like, yeah. I'm just driving down this road. It's maybe about a 2-3 mile stretch.
Mm-hmm.
From the part that I was at, well, when I first saw him to the highway.
Yeah, that's really creepy.
Yeah. So then
did anything else happen like around that time? Strangeness?
Or? No. That was the last time I ever saw him. Only time. Hopefully last time.
Yeah, that's definitely creepy.
I got home and I was just thinking about it the whole night. I talked to my mom about it the next day. She's just like, that's weird. She's like, it just felt wrong when it was like right there by my door. I was just like, yeah, this thing's giving off an evil vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I guess I'm kind of sensitive too, because I could get that feeling when you walk into some place and then you just, like, you shouldn't be here right now. It's like, you need to get out. That's how I felt when he was right there by my door when I was going to the church.
Yeah, so we're going to offer him a ride.
Yeah, I was just like, bye.
Yeah, right? Wow. Man, yeah, that's a wild one. I don't know that we've gotten one Flannel Man with the blacker than black combo yet. So that might be new.
Yeah, so it was just the face. I couldn't make out a face. I listened to a few other stories, but when I'm like hearing those stories, I just start getting creeped out. I'll go to the next podcast. I'll go to the next episode. So I'm like, I don't want to think about him that much.
Yeah, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, don't know if you're familiar with the Lechuza stories out in like the Hispanic folktale.
I am familiar, and I absolutely love them. Do you have any?
Yeah.
Really? So, oh, there's some of my favorite stories.
I'm out in the country. I'm working on. I'm out in the middle of the sticks. There's like the next house. It's my uncle owns 20 acres. It's three houses on the property. It's my cousin, my two cousins, and then my uncle and my aunt that live in each house, basically. And then it was quiet. I'm working on my Camaro. I just finished putting in the motor and stuff. And then I was closing up. It was like about midnight. And I start hearing whistling in the distance. And it sounded human-like. But all the dogs started going crazy. And then I start hearing just like coyotes start howling, everything. Just all animals start going nuts. And then I start hearing it get closer and closer. And then I'm just like, you know, it's time to pack up. So I start putting all my tools away as fast as I can, turn off the lights. Text my uncle. I'm like, sorry to put up everything right. He was like, you can yell at me tomorrow. I'm out of here. Then I'm taking off down the street, and all the dogs were barking up this one tree. And then they all started chasing after me once I passed that tree. So I didn't look behind me. I just looked in my mirror, saw the dogs chasing after the car. Just like, sped up a little bit more. Yeah. My uncle, he was like mad. He's like, you didn't put everything away like I told you. I was like, I'm sorry, I'll go back tomorrow, I'll do it in the morning. It's like, I'll do it when there's daylight out. Yeah, there's been other times.
You didn't get a chance to actually see an owl or anything?
No, I didn't, but I just saw the dogs barking up that one tree. I wasn't even that curious. I was just like, yeah, I need to get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was like the same description, like people say they'll hear the whistling, like something's calling you. It was just like, I can't whistle, but it's like, just like calling. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, and then I hear it get closer. And then I'm like, Junior, calling my cousin, and then nothing. And I look out, then all the lights are off in the houses. So I'm like, okay. It's like, nobody's out here. I'm like, time to pack up.
The general Lechuza legend is, do they just come after anybody, or
it lures you. It goes after anybody, men or male, female. Mm-hmm. Usually it goes after you if you're alone, which I was. Mm-hmm. It was there, but it was inside. And then they'll call you, they'll try to lure you out. And but the dogs started going crazy. I've never heard them. I was out there for three nights before that because I had to take out the transmission, the engine, and everything. So I was working out there late nights for like 3 days to get everything done. And I was just doing it a few hours at a time. And then that night was the last time I worked out there at night. But my cousins, he's like, man, I've heard stuff scratch on my ceiling, on my house. He's like, I thought it was rats, but it was too loud to be a rat.
Oh, wow. Because
they get some good-sized field rats out there, the size of a possum. It's out in South San Antonio. So mm-hmm. there's nothing out there but rivers and creeks.
Right.
So you get some, yeah.
So for people that we haven't done any Lechuza stories, so I'm excited we finally have one, because like I said, there's some of my favorite stories, the ones I've heard on other podcasts and the ones I've read about. They're generally supposed to be witches that take the form of an owl, right?
Of an owl, yeah. They'll have it'll be anywhere from like 4 feet to 6 feet tall, supposedly. But it usually, sometimes it'll have a female face, or sometimes it'll be just like a giant owl. That the face just looks like human. It looks human-like.
Yeah, they're so creepy. I mean, the stories are so creepy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I've heard stories when I was little. I didn't think anything of it. And, like, my uncles grew up out there, so they would tell me stories here and there. I was just like, yeah, you're trying to scare me. And then I heard the whistling, like, they would describe it to me, and I was just like, okay, maybe they're telling the truth.
Now, were these dogs, were they like your uncle's dogs?
Yeah, there was a bunch of stray dogs out there.
Oh, okay.
They're just basically wild dogs. Like they were, he had a few, but he kept those ones in a fence. And then he has his one inside dog that was his baby.
Mm-hmm.
But every dog that was outside was going crazy. Then he could hear coyotes just like their little sounds that they make out in the field. Because he has was a cornfield back in the day. Now it's just grass and trees back there. But you could hear all this stuff, like all these dogs just going off out in the woods. And it got creepy.
Yeah, man, that's wild.
Yeah, I was like 18 or 19 at the time. I'm 31 now. And then when I was like 16 years old, I was at my cousin's house, the one that I said was a medium. And then she's like, usually about 12 o'clock, it starts getting creepy around here. I was just like, okay. I'm there with my little brother. And then we're sitting down at the kitchen table, and then it's an apartment. So you look down the hallway, there's her bedroom. And then everybody that was in the house was sitting there at the kitchen table. And then the way I was facing like towards my family, but I was able to see down the hallway. And then I'm looking down, and then she saw my face just change because I was like, see somebody down the hallway. And then I'm like, there's somebody else here? And then she's like, is he tall with the cowboy hat? Like, yeah, he's just a shadow. He lives back there. He doesn't bother nobody. Oh. And he just walks right into the wall. And I was like, wow.
So she described you what you were seeing, basically.
Yeah. She's like, I see him all the time. She's like, he doesn't bother nobody.
How do you get that relaxed with it, you know? Like,
yeah, and then she's had some crazy stuff start going on over there. There was her neighbor that lived in the apartment next to her that would steal flowers from gravesites. Like, she would take the flowers from the graves.
Oh, that's a no-no in every culture.
Yeah, and then she's just like, this crazy bee. I keep on telling her not to bring stuff up. She had a little boy going and moving stuff around in the house. She was just bringing stuff up, like bringing stuff over to her house. She's like, I keep on having to do cleansings all the time. I was just like, yeah, I don't like coming over here that much anymore.
Wow. So this was the woman next door.
That was the medium. Yeah. The one that was stealing the flowers was next door to her, the apartment next door. And then she's like, you can't be taking people's flowers. She's like, that's just disrespectful. And stuff could attach to him. And then, like, she's had stuff to, like, where, like, knives would just fall off the counters. She's like, it started getting dangerous when knives were flying off the counter. It's like, you don't want that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, I've been scratched before, like, then I've had like this repeated dream when I was younger. I was like in high school, and then I kept on having this repeated dream to where me and my buddy were in my dream. We're walking. We see a warehouse. My friend's like, I want to go in there. He said, let's go check it out. I'm like, nah, let's not. He goes in there, and then I go, he goes in there. And then I'm like, so I go chasing after him. I'm like, hey, come back. Let's go. Let's get out of here. And then I hear a door shut. Then there's just a hallway with a bunch of doors, like demonic stuff spray painted on the walls. I don't know how my dreams were this vivid. I was in my teens. I was like 17, 18 when I was having these dreams. And then I was just having crazy dreams. Like, this dream just got deep. I'm looking for him opening up doors. Every time I opened up a door, every time I had this dream, it was a different door that I opened. But same result happened. Like a demon would get me, pull me down, step on my chest, and I would wake up with sleep paralysis.
Oh, so this was tied to the sleep paralysis incident.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So now when you woke up, did you see it on your chest when you woke up too? Or
like I would just see like a big, like I felt like a big foot on my chest. Like I would wake up and I felt like something was stepping on my chest.
You felt the pressure, but you couldn't see anything when you woke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember what it looked like in the dream?
It looked like a Doom character from the old Windows game.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
That's. I was just like, I was like, maybe that's where I got it from, because my uncle would let us play Doom when we were really young. My grandma would get after him. She's like, don't be letting him play that. He's like, nah, they're old enough.
Doom was the height of video game technology back then.
He was a computer engineer, and then he would have us playing Duke Nukem, Doom, just like all the old school Windows 95, Windows 98 games.
Right.
A lot of kids probably know him from like the PlayStation now. But I'm like, no, it goes way back. Yeah, me and my little brother both woken up with scratches on us, like on our chest, on our back. We did a sage smudge in the house, and then it kind of cleared up after that. I stopped having the dreams and stuff like that, so I think the sage helped out a lot, whatever was attached to me or whatever it was.
So whenever you had that same dream about the warehouse and et cetera, you also had sleep paralysis. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you ever have sleep paralysis and not have that same dream?
No.
Oh, that's wild. Yeah.
Ever since I stopped having that dream, I haven't had sleep paralysis.
Oh, that's really interesting, though. So it was always associated with the same dream. That's wild.
Yeah, and then, like, it was just the same repeated dream. I would go in there, and then I would remember from the last dream, I'm like, no, don't go in that door. Let's try the next door.
Right.
So I would go down the next door, same results. It was just crazy. And then I told my buddy that was in the dream about it, and then he's like, hell no, bro, I don't want to be going into the warehouse. He was, I'm not trying to get kidnapped. I was laughing. He was crazy. Like, we were, like, when we first moved into the subdivision, we were like, there's like maybe four houses in the neighborhood, and it was four Hispanic families. And then we were skateboarding one night, like at 2-3 in the morning. And then we're going, I'm like, hey, did you see that little girl? And then he's like, what little girl? I'm like, there was a little African-American girl walking down the street. And then he's like, shut up. And he starts laughing. I'm like, no, I'm serious. Let's go back. And then he's like, looks at me. And then we go back. And we're like looking around. And we're like, there's nobody here. It's like, and we knew everybody in the houses. Like, we were all friends. We were still friends to this day. It's just like, we never found out what happened with that day, with that little girl. What was it? What it was.
How old did she appear?
Like 4 or 5, walking around by herself at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, way too young to be walking by yourself.
Yeah. I was like, did you see that little girl? He's like, no, shut up. And then I'm like, no, let's go back and check it out. And he's just laughing. And he's like, I didn't see anybody. He's like, you're lying to me. So we go back, and then we walk around the neighborhood, because there was just, all there was just the foundations for the house laid out. Because that's how brand new the neighborhood was. Mm-hmm. So it was like, there's nobody out here. It's like, we know everybody out here.
And no news reports or anything about a little kid missing or anything that you remember?
No, nothing. I know so much stuff has happened. Like one time I was at an eyeglasses place, and I'm talking to a lady, and I just felt like I got shoved from behind. I turn around, and there's just a wall behind me. And she's like, what happened? I was like, oh, nothing. I'm like talking to her. And she's like, what happened? She's like, you looked concerned for a second. Like, something pushed me. She's like, oh, man, I'm going to quit my job.
It'll be on an upcoming show. I'm not sure if it'll air before or after this, but I was hiking at night with a witness was behind me, and my buddy Chad was in front of me. And it was nighttime. We're out in the woods, and I felt something grab my pack. Like, in my head, it's almost like I could visualize the material in my pack, like scrunching as the hand grasped it, and then it just yanked down on my
pack. You feel like somebody's pulling your shirt, but it's actually your backpack.
Yeah, exactly. It just yanked hard, like yanked down hard, to the point where it jerked me back, and I thought it was the guy behind me, the witness we were with. I turned around, I was kind of mad. I was getting ready to like say, hey, dude, don't do that to me.
Back off. And keep your distance.
He was 8 feet behind me rolling a cigarette. It was not him. So I know that feeling where you just, something just reaches out and grabs you. It's like, wow, there was nothing there. It was bizarre.
Yeah. And then, oh my God, And then there's like so many stories. San Antonio is just, well, war zone everywhere, like all over San Antonio, basically. And then I'm over on the south side, so there's all the missions. Oh, wait, that's another thing where I saw the Flannel Man encounter. It's the missions are right down the street from it.
Now, these are the old ones.
Yes, the original missions from the war.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I was right down the street from it. I just thought about that right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool history. Like, I really want to do like a Southwest tour starting in Texas.
Just downtown, there's all these ghost tours. Just right off the Riverwalk, you go down there. It's just like ghost tour. Do this hotel, stay here, and then there's a bar called the Cadillac Bar, and I've DJed there numerous times. I've done weddings, debuts, like just a bunch of events over there. And then once in a while, they'll just have the bottom hall going, and then they'll block off the way to get upstairs. There's no elevators. There's just one stairway and it was blocked. I'm packing up. It's about 2:30 in the morning. And I see a lady in a white dress just standing at the top of the stairs. I looked away. I'm pulling my dolly with all my equipment on it. I look back up and then I'm like, oh wow, she's not there anymore. I just got like the hair just stood up on the back of my neck.
Did it look like a modern dress or did it look like older?
No, it was like an old timey dress. This I looked up the year that it was built in like the 1800s. It's a bar that sits across from the courtroom downtown, the Cadillac mm-hmm. bar. But yeah, I talked to one of the staff members. She's like I get a creepy feeling when I'm up there by myself. I'm like, oh wow. She's like I don't know, I'm just asking. I was just like, I don't want to scare you out of your job.
The history there, you know, it's got to be similar to like Gettysburg, for instance, up here, where you just have these old buildings that have just kind of absorbed this stuff for, you know, hundreds of years.
Yeah, there's crime all the time downtown, especially with all the bars, and there's just killings to this day. Like, you'll see every once in a while in the news, somebody was stabbed over an argument at the bars. There's like, just stuff going on all the time down there. So it's nothing new that's happened in those buildings.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then another time I was on the south side, I was at a auto parts store. I used to work there. So I knew the guys there. I wasn't working there at the time. I was working on a car, but I went to go and pick up something. We just started just shooting the breeze and just three of us in the store. And we're talking, and then, you know, the creepers that you roll into the car to work on them?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Like the little body things with the wheels that you roll on.
Right, yeah.
That you lay on and roll under the car. That was hanging on some pegs on the wall. It goes flying from one side of the building to the other.
Well, they're pretty heavy, and right? Then,
yeah, they're about 5-10 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not like a plate or something. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. It came off the pegs, flew across the store, and then we looked at each other. It's like, it's just us in here, right? It's like, yeah. It's like, all right, I'm away by the front door. Y'all two go run and like try to ambush them. We thought somebody might have snuck in behind us while we weren't paying attention. There's nobody in the store. The creeper was just laying there on the ground.
Yeah, what does that?
I wish we could go back on the footage, but we weren't able to. Only the higher up corporation could go back on the footage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that would have been something I would have liked to see on video.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Of course, they don't want to have a haunted shop and have nobody want to work there.
Yeah, that was the second, same large chain company that I worked at another one on the north side. And then there was a shadow that would run behind all the shelves in the back of the store. Like, they had the parts aisles in the back where all the hard parts are. I was up front and I'm closing down the store. I just see a shadow just run from one side of the store to the other. And then I was like, hey brother, I was like, gotta go to the restroom or what? I was just joking around thinking that it was a guy running to the restroom. And then I hear him from the other side of the store. He's like, what's up?
Oh,
like, oh And he's like, did you see a shadow? I was like, yeah. He's like, everybody's seen that for years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was just like, wow, that's scary. Then they would, we would get the pallets start clanking on the ground. Like, they would get lifted up and, like, slammed on the ground every once in a while. That was normal over there, too. And this is a big chain auto parts store.
Yeah, well, even in the newer buildings, it doesn't really seem to matter much. You know, it's like,
yeah, they said that apparently that it was owned by a older man that didn't want to give up his property. Then he passed away, and then his kids sold it off. And then they said that you would see an old man with the blue jean overalls every once in a while in the back. I had never saw it. I just saw the guy running down the back of the shop, and then you would hear the pallets every once in a while. I worked there for like a year. I just got used to seeing that shadow just running down the back.
How many times do you think you saw it?
Like 3 or 4 times out of a year. And then I closed mostly every night because I was the youngest one there.
So you got to turn the lights off and leave.
Yeah. I was the baby, so I had to stay behind. And they're like, hey, you can work late. You don't have a family yet. I've seen so much stuff growing up. It's just like I could go on for days probably telling stories.
Well, you already answered my question. Everybody sees Slender Man. I ask about sleep paralysis, and then I ask about black dogs. Have you ever seen what appear to be like a not normal, not natural black dog, either in dreams or awake?
Not that I remember.
It's not as usually, common as a sleep
paralysis. Yeah, it's usually. Yeah, I remember hearing the Chicago one where he saw the black dog in the room. I was like, yeah, no, I'm glad it wasn't in my house at all.
yeah, that's what, well, my wife had seen them in her room growing up. And yeah, then,
yeah, I remember hearing that one too. I heard the Chicago one, and then he's in the cellar and he would see it. I was just like, yeah, no. I was like, I'm glad I was far away from home.
She still doesn't like that room to this date. I mean, her parents just use it for storage now, and she's not really.
I still own that house too. It has to be a little pinch in the side every time we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, every time I'm going out in that area, I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to skip the street if it's late at night. I'm just like, I was like, I'll drive down further to go hit the highway further up or further down.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I don't go down the street no more at night. They're like, why not? Long story. I was like, long story. It's a short story, but you're going to ask a lot of questions. I don't feel like answering all of them.
Yeah, thank you for bringing the first Lachuza story to Strange Familiars. Like I said, I've heard so many, and I love them so much. They're just so interesting.
Yeah, it's a big Southern belief going on down here.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get some, and then it's just, you know, I kind of, rather than seek out people that have been on other podcasts and stuff, I kind of like, well, maybe they'll come naturally, you know, maybe somebody. So I think you're the first one.
I tried showing my uncle some of the stories, but he gets creeped out nowadays. He's just like, no. He's like, no, I don't even want to hear anything about it. Because, he's told me about when him and his brother were younger, they lived out in, like, the same area that I heard that whistling. They lived further up the road. It was like a little neighborhood. But him and his brother were going out. They would go and they would help out on this farm. So they were riding their bike. And he said that he swears they saw a half man, half goat out there.
Oh, wow.
Like the centaur. I was trying to think of the name popped in my head right now. Yeah, but he said he saw one of those. He said that they looked at it, they saw it, they stayed there for a little bit, turned around, and just rode away really fast. He's like, we didn't even go to do that job. He's like, we didn't make our 25 cents that day.
Wow. Now, did he say how big it was?
No, he didn't. Like he doesn't want to go into too many details about it. I was just like, would you tell it on the podcast? I was like, I'm going on it. And then he's like, for what? And I was like, about a thing I saw. And then he's like, what it looked like? I'm like, no, I'm not going to tell you. He's like, you're going to have nightmares. He started laughing. He's like, yeah, I probably would. Because I was showing him the Bigfoot podcast.
Sasquatch Chronicles.
Sasquatch Chronicles. And then I was showing him one of the ones from Texas. And then he's just like, eh, no. he's like, that gave me, he's like, I couldn't sleep that night. He's like, I was just thinking about it if I heard any of that. Because he was in the military, so he lived in Idaho, everything, like out in the sticks. Oh, that's another. he said that when my oldest cousin was born, that his mom, he flew his mom out to Idaho, and then they're in the room, and they just saw, she was like staring out the window, and he's like, "Mom, what is it?" And she's like, she tell him in Spanish, "Look, look." She's like, "Mira, mira." And then he's like, "What is that?" And he said that it was just a bright light up in the sky, lit up blue at pitch black, and then it just shot off really fast. He believes it was a UFO.
Yeah, well, it sounds like.
Yeah, he said it. He said it lit up the room. Basically, that was like the first and only time that he had saw that out there.
Huh.
Oh yeah, same area. I had a girlfriend out there when I was like 22, 23. We're outside talking out. She lived out in the woods too, basically. Like, my school wasn't far from this area, so I knew a lot of people out there, family, friends, everything. So I was at an ex-girlfriend's house. To this day, I didn't know what it was. And then the only way I could describe it was a tree knock out there.
Like a single one?
Yeah, it was just hock, just loud. And it just echoed from the woods to her house. And we looked at each other. I was like, "What was that?" She's like, "I have no idea." Because the next house wasn't for about a half a mile up. Mm-hmm. So we just like looked at each other. We're just like, "Let's call it a night."
Yeah. Well, to me, something with hands has got to swing something to make that sound.
Yeah. We looked at each other. We're just like, "Did you hear that?" "I heard that." "Yeah, we heard that." Just like had to confirm with each other.
Right, yeah. So it's either a creepy person creeping around, which is not a cool thing, or it's something else.
Yes. Like
that's the only thing, two things it'd be. It's got to be something with hands, you know?
Yeah, so I remember hearing it, and I didn't think about it at all. And so I started listening to the Sasquatch Chronicles and everything, and then I'm just like, what if that was a tree knock that I heard that night? I remember that right now. That's the last story I got.
Well, Rick, thanks so much for sharing your stories. I definitely get most of my stories from Pennsylvania, but I live here, so I think that's natural. But second, most stories I get are from Texas now. I get tons of calls.
Yeah.
From Texas. So,
I've been noticing that. I'm like, wow, East Texas. I was like, it's not far.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try to do a Texas trip maybe in 2020. I want to go down there and see some of these areas with that.
Yeah. San Antonio is really, there's a lot of nightlife. But also, once you start getting towards the south, it's a lot of farmland and woodland.
Rick, thank you so much.
All right. If anything else comes up, I'll keep in touch.
We'll get back to our show in just a minute. We'll hear Ed's stories. Before we do that, though, I want to thank our patrons. Thank you, patrons. Thank you for your support. As I've said before, even in more certain times, your support means everything. In these very uncertain times we are in, your support means the world to us. We could not do this show without your help. If you like what we do, if you like the content we provide, and you want to help us make more and get extra content besides, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. For $3 a month, you get full extra episodes of Strange Familiars. We did 2 in April so far. Just last week, we did 2 patron shows. We guarantee 1 full patron episode for everybody, but often we do more, like we did this month, and maybe we'll have more yet to come this month. We'll see. There are all different levels of support at Patreon for things like t-shirts and copies of my books, even original artwork. You can check them all out at patreon.com/strangefamiliars. If you don't like the idea of a monthly subscription like Patreon and you still want to help, if you go to strangefamiliars.com and look in the show notes under every episode, there's a paypal.me link where you can make a one-time donation. Everyone can help by sharing the show on social media, by liking and subscribing wherever you listen, whatever podcatcher you use, and by leaving us those nice 5-star reviews, which help get the show in front of new potential listeners. When I grew up, I had
the perfect puppy. He was my best friend. His name was Barney. But I don't know how to make a perfect puppy. If you're looking to raise the perfect puppy for you, you want 90 Days for the Perfect Puppy. And we're talking with Tina, who runs 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy. So what's the teaching approach you have, Tina?
So the approach we have is how to take stock of the puppy we have and the life that we have, not just now, but into the future. And like any good relationship, to build that one day at a time. And so the 90 Days to a Perfect Puppy is a little bit of a misnomer. We're not actually creating a perfect puppy. We're trying to help you and the puppy be a perfect match for one another.
So this is an online course. And even though your clients are online, they're never alone. They have access to a bunch of different resources, including you, correct?
Absolutely. We wanted to make sure that people had access to the information they needed and the lessons they wanted the exact moment they wanted them, whether I was available or not. And then the way that we make sure that you get individual support is through a super secret Facebook group, or you can opt in to have additional one-on-one training as a part of the course.
90 Days to the Perfect Puppy. You can go to sithappens.us and look for the link right at the top of the page, 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy. So now we're going to hear from Ed. Like I said, he's got a selection of stories as well, shadow people and other creepy experiences. So without further ado, let's hear Ed's stories. All right, tonight we're talking with Ed, who's got a few stories for us that are based around a certain house he was living in. This was when you were a kid?
Yeah. I grew up in a small town on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. Moving to the house, I was excited because it was, we moved from I come from a very large family. I'm one of nine kids. So we moved into this house that was bigger, more suited for my family. You know, not all of us could get our own bedrooms. Didn't have that many bedrooms, but like first moving into this house, it was a big step for us. You know, it was we weren't at nine at that point when we moved in. I think we had seven of us, and then two more got born while we were in that house. So, yeah, I mean, a large family right there. But, a bunch of weird stuff started happening when I was over there.
Did you happen to live near Edward Gorey?
No. It's like, I mean, I'm about 25 minutes away from Edward Gorey's house. Like, I'm actually... not to give up my location or anything like that, but I live like not that very far from Edward Corey's house at all too. So I drive by it on a regular basis. I live in the same town as that house is right there. So, but not, this house was in the town of Mashpee, which is like a smaller town. I think it's like a population around 10,000, something like that. And I grew up for a number of years over there, but, I had no good idea what sleep paralysis was when I was younger, because I don't think the information was really out there. Mm-hmm. But I come to get older and realize that I did suffer from bouts of sleep paralysis, you know, seeing stuff. But I would see, started seeing stuff on during waking hours there, which was really odd at first. Like, it was a lot of shadow people. I know you've covered shadow people in your things. And, you know, there's specifically three different ones that I saw while I was in there. I'd probably lived in this house for 8 to 10 years. I lived on the basement level in my own bedroom, but I had a bunk bed in there, and occasionally brothers would stay in there for a while, and then they'd get too spooked by staying down there and then migrate bedrooms. It was kind of a weird household like that. But not particularly. I mean, it had to have been built in the 70s. It's like a split. There's a split level ranch,
right,
which is kind of common for that area. It's like one of those houses when you walk in, you got a stairway going up to your left and a stairway down to your right. You know those type of entranceways when you walk in.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So that layout's important because at the bottom of the stairs, where it seems like everybody had their experiences of the highest level of activity. I never talked to my siblings about my stories. And as soon as I told them I was doing this podcast and everything, and they just started spilling out their stories, it was pretty interesting. So
stories from the same early.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's like, I mean, I won't call it a haunting, but it was definitely, there was some weird energy getting put out with that amount of kids all growing up at that point. Like, you know how, like, they say poltergeist activity, like, comes around with, like, children getting older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was, like, multiple kids going through that at once, you know, but I'll start with the earliest one that I remember seeing was, so going down from the bottom of the stairs, if you went straight ahead, was the bathroom. And then you could see down the hallway to your right. And like probably one out of every five times I would come down to use that bathroom, if I wasn't looking down the hall, there would be a head sticking out of the laundry room. Just a black silhouette head that you can barely make out. And then as soon as you turn your head, it wasn't there anymore. That was on a regular basis that I would see that one. And it didn't have any feelings of malice or anything like that, too. It just felt like it was, like, curious or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Quiet. I asked my siblings, and none of them saw that one in particular. So in my bedroom was also connected to another room, which we call the playroom, which is technically, like, a second living room, but it was down in the basement. And a few times when I'd be entering there, there would be a shadow figure that was like impossibly tall, like not in the dimensions of a man whatsoever, that would just be sitting down on the couch. And I would see it out of the crack of my door. And as soon as I opened the door all the way, he's gone. Saw that about three times. I told my sister about this specific incident today. And she said she had a similar incident, not at this house, but the house that we lived at before. I was very young at that time, so I may have not seen anything because I wasn't aware of it. But I don't have any particular memories of anything weird happened there. But she said one time that she was just got up in the middle of the night to grab a glass of water or something like that. There was like an impossibly tall shadow person that was rifling through a china cabinet. Wow. And the box that was in there. And you know, she got spooked out by it, ran back to the room. She said that she thought it, like, initially her thought was, it was like my father standing up on a chair going through it. You know, she asked him the next morning if he was up, and he's like, no, I wasn't up in the middle of the night or whatever. So that was kind of weird because it's like, kind of like, that's a very uncommon description of a shadow people from what I understand, you know?
Yeah.
Do you get many calls of a very tall one?
Well, actually I get a lot of where people say they were like real tall, like all these things, just too tall. Yeah. Everything from the bunny things to the shadow people and a few of the flannel men, I think every now and then people say they were really tall. They tend to be more, you know, in the normal range, I think. But yeah, I have heard a couple like extra tall shadow people things. When you saw it, did it react to you in any way, or did it just...
No, it that one felt like it was like also not trying to be imposing, not trying to be seen, but which is different than what my sister got from the vibe, from the similar thing that she saw. You know, like me, whenever I would come across that one, again, I felt no like ill will or like didn't bring up any raw emotions, which I had the most distinct incident of a shadow figure was one time when I was sharing my bedroom with one of my older brothers at the time. I was sleeping on the top bunk and he's on the bottom bunk. So I was trying to sleep. He's a loud snorer. He's snoring, keeping me up. And, you know, I was kind of a little afraid of this room I was in. Well, first of all, before I even get that, there's a large fish. I'm going to just forget about this. If I don't bring it up now, but in my room, there's this large fish tank that was in there, probably about 6 feet wide that we'd always have fish in. And I would leave. And then, of course, I'd check up on the fish to see if they need to be fed or whatever occasionally. But there was several times which I would come back downstairs and the fish would be inside the air tubes of the, that like filtered the water of the, of the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like no way for them to get inside there. It happened like 3 or 4 times. My parents were thinking I was putting these fish inside this little water tank inside there. That was just something really weird that we kept on dealing with in that room, you know? And I kept on getting the blame for it, which I wasn't too happy about. Anyway, so yeah, a lot of weird activity in that room. And so one time I'm trying to sleep. I would always have the door open to the hallway with the light on in the hallway that I was talking about, where it seemed like the center of the activity was. And I look over and there's a massive figure. Like, I mean, not saying just tall, but like, it just like, for me as a child, just seemed like a really big, burly man, like barrel chested in the doorway. And I couldn't make out the features, but it was weird because I thought in my head, I mean, I was a young kid, I was like, I thought it was somebody dressed like a samurai at first. And I'm like, why the heck is this a samurai? I'm like looking at him. And then I realized it was a silhouette of the colonial clothing, you know, the puffy pants. He had a hat on that was like the pilgrims used to do. And he must've had long hair or something. So it kind of gave a look of like a Shogun helmet at first.
Right.
When I first saw it. But it was actually definitely period colonial clothing. So I'm looking at this thing. I roll over. I'm like, okay, I'm going to just pretend to still be asleep. So I like roll on my side. I'm not paralyzed at this point too. Like, cause I've gotten sleep paralysis before and I could not move around at all. And this time I have free motion and everything. So like I look back at it and it's still there 15 minutes later. I'm like, okay, this is weird. So I'm like trying to like see if I can wake up my big brother. So I roll over to the away from the door and there's like a gap between the bed and the wall. So I'm yelling down the crack of the wall to my brother, like to try to wake him up, saying his name. And he's out cold turkey anyway. So he's just a heavy sleeper. There's no waking him up. So I stared at this figure probably for about an hour before I just figured to sort of roll my back and go to sleep. And it took me like an hour to go to sleep after that. And it was intense fear that I felt.
Could you see any details in it, or was it more like a silhouette?
It was more like a silhouette. I was terrified of things, so I didn't look at it for long periods of times. Mm-hmm. First time I did, I was, because I was thinking like, oh, is this my brother? Is this my father? What is going on? Because the light in the hallway was pretty bright, and this thing was still very featureless. So again, I was just working with trying to figure out the silhouette, and took me a while to figure out what was going on, because, you know, I mean, I heard about, like, I mean, of course, living on Cape Cod, we know about pilgrims and stuff like that too. So it took me a little bit to realize that it was actually that clothing that he was wearing. But once I was able to tell what it was kind of obvious at that point. But me being a big Ninja Turtles fan, I think I thought samurai at first, which is, I feel dumb about, but it was...
when you're a kid, that's where your mind probably goes, right? This figure, when he was there, did he move around at all, you know, that you noticed?
Completely stood still. Like, and that was, I'd probably feel less terrified if it was moving.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he was just standing there for an hour, that was intense. I don't know. It's hard to explain it. I mean, I know you've had you shared some of your sleep paralysis stories too on your thing. It's a weird feeling. As weird as it is, as scary as I wouldn't want to take the moments back in a weird way. It's like, kind of feels like it's part of me in a way.
No, I get that. I do get that. As much as I disliked it at the time, it is my experience, you know?
Yeah. So, couple other stories in this house that happened to me specifically was so again, there's a split level stairs in the house when you first walk in. So my older siblings, they got to stay up later than I did before I would have to go downstairs and go to bed while they continue to watch their like Tales from the Crypt or something like that. You know, the shows I was a little too young to be watching, and they wanted me to be up early for school. So
right.
A lot of times I would sneak up the stairs and just hang out on the top step so I could just get a view of the TV around the corner and nobody could see me. So
I remember doing that. I was upstairs though, and I would come halfway down the stairs and look at the
Oh yeah, the, I mean, you'd be wearing your socks so you don't get caught and everything, so thinking you're being sly.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a regular thing I always did. Like I said, I had my shoes off, so I had my shoes in my hand because I was told to go to bed. So I made a point to make it sound like I'm going downstairs, took off my shoes at the bottom of the stairs, walked back up to catch a little more TV. So one time I was like, okay, I'm going to go to bed because right before the show's about to get over, I do that. So as I'm walking down the stairs, I get that, get a weird chill up my spine, you know, just like that spine tingling, like fear out of nowhere. And like, I took my shoes, like I had my shoes in my hand. So like I took it, and I tapped them together. I tapped them three times. I was like, tap, tap, tap. Then like 3 seconds later down the hallway, I hear boom, boom, boom. And that terrified me. I ran right back upstairs and like, I tried to tell them, it's like, oh, let me just watch one more show. Like, I didn't want to tell them what just happened to me down there, you know?
Right.
But it was down the hallway on the opposite side of where I used to stay down there. So that was like kind of like the unfinished basement area that came from. And that area also terrified me. We're watching Ernest Scared Stupid. Not Ernest Scared Stupid, Ernest Saves Christmas. You know, Christmas movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was staying in a different bedroom at the time. Like I said, we kind of migrated just if we got bored in there with a room. I managed to get one of the upstairs bedrooms, which I was kind of happy about. I figured it was going to, and like some of the weird stuff that was happening to me down there. So I go to open one of the doors after watching the movie, and all of a sudden there's like this red light, like a red light that's floating in the middle of the room, and then it just disappears. And just being just watching a Christmas movie, I just like literally just put my hands up. I'm like, oh, come on. Because like it just seemed like it was just too much. As much as that, like, I kept on thinking, like, oh, yeah, I was just seeing something. Like, the thing is it illuminated the room, and I could see the illumination that it caused on the room. You know, I can understand people can see stuff, but I don't know about, like, seeing illumination. And that's been one thing that's always kind of, like, bugged me about that experience, because I like to chalk it up as, like, some weird trick of the eye. But, like, the thing is, I saw how it illuminated the blankets on the bed and everything, too, being in the middle of the room.
Was it dark before? Was it drifting around, or was it stationary?
It was moved like a flare when I opened up the door. It was no longer, I mean, it was only there for like a second at the most, maybe a second and a half, because it kind of did like a small arc, a big flash, and then it was gone.
Oh, okay.
I didn't tell my siblings my stories. I told them I was just talking about it on the podcast. So one of my brothers said that, like, oh no, he was like casually brought up. He's like, yeah, I had this one weird incident. I guess he was going down the bottom of the stairs, and as he was at the bottom of the stairs, there was a girl in a white dress just walking away from him toward the hall that goes down to the unfinished area, just like over the weird waddle to her step. Mm-hmm. And he said it felt like it was like trying to get him to follow it, and he wanted nothing to do with it. And just like left that situation. I'm trying to remember what my sister told me too, what happened to her in that house. Talked with her today too, guys. I mean, like I said, this is nothing that we usually talk about. So she said one time that she was loading the dishwasher, because she was older than us, so she like did the dishes. She did a lot more. She had a lot of responsibilities that, you know, looking after us because we were a little younger. So she said she was loading up the dishwasher one time, and I don't know, we must have been jacked up on Mountain Dews or something like that, because I guess we're being loud and annoying to her. So we were like asking her something, and like while she's trying to load the dish, she's like, I'm trying to load the dish. And she said, like, if one more person bothers me, I'm going to lose it. And then like all of a sudden she felt a hard tap on her shoulder, and then she turns around like, what? And then there's nobody there whatsoever. So it would seem like it was just like a something just letting him, just messing with her at that point.
Right.
She had one more story in the house that I thought was interesting. She was talking with one of my brothers in her bedroom. He went to go leave the bedroom, and she wanted to tell him to shut the door. Right. So she's like, oh, can you shut the door? Like, but she, instead of saying shut the door, she said, shut the lights off. But accidentally, and she doesn't know why she said that, but as soon as she did, the lights went out in the room, and my brother's already far exited the room. And then she's like, no, I didn't mean the lights. And then the lights came back on right after that. So I don't know. So I talked to like one of my other brothers too, and he was in one of the other area of the basement, and he had really nothing besides nightmares. He said the only experiences he had were nightmares inside the house.
Did you ask any of them if they had sleep paralysis as well?
No, not too much. My father was a Vietnam veteran, and like he had heavy PTSD, you know, and like, I mean, it sounds weird, but like trying to talk about that just seemed like pale in comparison to like the stuff that he had to go through on a nightly basis trying to get to sleep.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and something because like he had a lot of sleeping problems because of his PTSD.
Right.
From the Vietnam War and stuff like that. I wasn't really too open with them too, because I didn't want anybody to think I was crazy seeing all this stuff too. But a lot of other people just had very similar experiences in that house specifically too. So
now, what age did you move from that house?
Moved over to the next town over, which is Barnstable, and that was a great change. Like I did get an occasional like sleep paralysis, you know, but like I really had nothing weird happen to me in that house whatsoever once we moved there. So like I was kind of thrilled. I mean, new location, and you know, moving out of that other house is definitely a relief to me. I think more so than everybody else in the house, but I definitely was super excited to leave there.
Mm-hmm.
So having those experiences, I've always kind of been interested in trying to find areas like that. Like I was very big into like urban exploring. We have and I'm pretty sure Pennsylvania is the same way too, but you guys got a bunch of abandoned institutions when they got rid of the asylums in your state too, correct?
Yes. Not as many as Massachusetts, but we have some. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'd often explore those. There's one in particular that was the only one that gave me the chills, was the Taunton State Hospital. And that one was, it was weird because like when we went to go look for it, because we've been to a bunch, and I'm not encouraging this activity. This was when I was younger, never been to trying to get into these abandoned buildings. But this was before we had GPSs on our phones, and like we're just figure, oh yeah, we'll go to Taunton and we'll find this hospital. And like, we're looking around, and all of a sudden I just got that weird feeling. I'm like, it's right around this corner. And as soon as we got it right around the corner, there it is. That was the only one I got too scared to actually go in, because it just gave me that bad of feelings. And then I was looking up the history on it, and it was like a very toxic place, like famously bad for the way they treated the patients inside there. Like it was a they're really nasty stories coming there, more so than probably any other hospital in Massachusetts, as far as that goes.
These abandoned hospitals are, I mean, they're amazing buildings. I'm not sure how many are left.
Yeah.
They're the Gothic architecture and just creepy as heck. I've been in the one in Northampton.
I've never been to that one, but I know of it. That was, that's about two and a half hours away from where I live.
Yeah, it's towards the center of the state there. And I had a friend who was going to college at one of the colleges there, and she would write me these letters and tell me about she always called it the abandoned Gothic mental institution. I'm thinking, yeah, right. I didn't believe her. You know, I didn't believe that there could be such a thing. And then I went up there, and sure enough, there it was. And wow, really, really creepy places. I went in that one. I think the first time I went up, I went in that one, and then after that, it was too heavily patrolled, and now I believe it might be, they turned it into apartments or something. I think they, you know, it's, they completely repurposed the building now. Yeah, very, very
weird. Weirdly enough, like, I mean, yeah, they're creepy, but like, I kind of feel like a piece in a lot of them in a weird way. You know, like, none really gave me, like, bad vibes except that one.
Hmm.
I even been to the one that, you ever seen the movie Session 9?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so I've been to that one before too, and that one didn't freak me out half as much as the one in Taunton. They did the similar thing too with the Danvers State Hospital, which is the one from Session 9, where they converted into condos. And one of the times it was under construction, they all burnt down. Like a whole big section of the condos actually burnt down during construction. And I guess you could see it all the way from the buildings in Boston. And it was like that bad of a fire.
Wow.
But I mean, if you've seen the movie, that building's amazing looking. So like all my friends like know me as the person that like always into that stuff. I just don't really get scared of exploring stuff like that. There's a town here on Cape Cod, Sandwich. And in Sandwich there's this pheasant farm. Or it used to be a pheasant hunting ground. And so it had some of the buildings where like people would sit in to shoot the pheasants at. A couple other buildings are on the property. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. Like it's a beautiful area to walk around during the day. And at night is a little spooky, but so I've been there like a dozen times. So I'd show my my friends always ask me like to go check out places like that. Because we're bored, you know. We were that was our idea of a fun time, just go exploring places wherever at nighttime. We're in one of those abandoned buildings one time with our flashlight going down the stairs. As soon as we get to the bottom of the stairs, the flashlight goes out, freaks out my friends. They all run out of the building. As soon as they get out of the building, the flashlight works perfectly. No, that didn't freak me out. That freaked out my friends, a couple of my friends. So like, I'm like, no, that didn't freak me out at all. So decided to go back there again a couple weeks later. And I'm with two close friends and one of their brothers. So there's four of us that are down there. And I show them around the buildings, you know, because I knew the buildings when they're up. They're small stuff, you know, nothing like the hospitals, but it's still kind of spooky to walk around. So we're walking toward the woods. And for some reason, I got that spine tingling fear come on my back. And I grabbed one of my friends by the shoulder. I'm like, dude, I don't have a good feeling about this right now. And he's like, oh, don't worry about it. And no more than two steps later. So we all like walk forward, taking two steps. And all of a sudden, like there's I can't describe anything more accurate than a flutter of baby laughter. Wow. That just floats above us. It's like, it goes from like one side of our heads to the other side of the head. Like over the course of like 2 seconds, and it's above our head, like probably by like 4 feet. And like, we're all looking up like, okay, that's really crazy. So we're all like looking around with our flashlights, trying to see if we can make sense of like what just happened. We walk around this area for about 15 minutes. Nothing's happening. So it's like, okay, let's just continue on with our walk. Get back to the path. You kind of have to like do a loop around the area. And as we come around the loop area, the area we were just in is to my left. There's something that comes next to my head and just goes like very loudly though, right next to my head. And we all just jump. I'm like, you guys hear that? And they're like, hear what? And like, oh. And they're like, dude, yeah, we all heard it. Like, it was just, it was distinct. We all heard it. It was not any of us. It was, there's a weird validation in a way to have like something like that happen with other people around.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that stuck with me forever. I mean, there's like probably like if there was like a different, like more powerful entity, like it made itself apparent in the most simple way possible, technically, you know, doing two outward breaths for all of us to turn around. It was just a very weird thing to happen to us altogether. Too, the thing that I've like gotten mad about myself in the moment was I don't remember if I felt its breath or not, because it was right next to my head. And like, I think I probably would have remembered that too, but like for some reason that like, if I just felt the breath as well, it would just reiterated like more that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense. Like, but I mean, it was something we all witnessed too, but that's like one thing that I'm like, I don't remember in that moment if I felt like anything from that breath.
Right.
That was right in my face. Like it's weird. Like, cause it's like a trickster entity, you know, it's,
mm-hmm.
Like, what is it trying to do? I mean, like, that's been one of my things. And, like, I can say what it's done for me, like, is, again, yes, it was freaky, but I'm happy that it happened to me because it gave me kind of more of appreciation for existence in a way. That, like, that's like an affirmation. Like, I don't have all the answers. I'm probably never going to figure out the answers.
Yeah,
but something happened that I can't explain.
There's more to life than, I think, the materialist plan. There, I think there's just a lot more that we don't know. Absolutely, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, like for me, like my sister believes like the houses that we were at were haunted. Me, I mean, I'm kind of like more so believing that there's something that we manifested with our all our different energies growing up in the house together.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like kind of like you're familiar with tulpas.
Right, right.
Yeah, I feel like it was more so something like that, that we were actually manifesting in the house. Like there's.
Yeah, with all those of all those different ages, I mean, it's almost like a recipe for poltergeisty kind of stuff.
Yeah. The only poltergeisty thing that happened to me, though, was the fish that would end up in these tubes in this tank. That was the weirdest thing that would just regularly happen to me. I can't say that anything moved on me or anything physical in the house like that.
Yeah, I was sort of using the poltergeist as sort of the generic term. In other words, the idea with poltergeist is that it's basically the energy manifested by, you know, kids of a certain age kind of thing. And that's kind of what I was referencing, like with, you know, yeah, with everybody there, the different ages and stuff, and the weird combinations of energies.
I know, like, I'm always wondering, like, if this, because that incident that happened to us in the woods. I don't know about my friend's brother, but I know me and my two close friends that were on that trip with me both suffer from very vivid sleep paralysis from time to time as well, which is not like, I mean, it's not a super uncommon thing, but like having the three of us at least that all have very vivid sleep paralysis, like feels like maybe we're all in tune to like a certain wavelength.
Yeah, well,
and that's why it was available to us. Like that happened to us.
There's something with sleep paralysis and this stuff. I don't know exactly what the connection is, but I'm sure you've heard me. I ask people all the time, "Have you had sleep paralysis?" And almost everybody who's had an experience, you know, has also had sleep paralysis. I don't think that sleep paralysis is the explanation for these things, but I think the two maybe go hand in hand in some way. I don't know how they're connected, but they seem to be somehow connected, because people who get sleep paralysis also tend to have paranormal experiences, which aren't explained by sleep paralysis.
Have you ever heard about people creating their own tulpas?
Yeah.
Like how you can make your own tulpa.
Oh yeah.
Like I've always thought, like, if that's possible, then it's possible to accidentally create one. And like, I almost think that's kind of what was going on with the house, with the shadow entities. Where they're almost like a form of tulpa, just from the energy that I was experiencing through sleep paralysis, I could actually manifest. Like they both exist and don't exist at the same time. It's just getting very existential right now, more so than usual. But when this stuff happens to you, it makes you think, you gotta, the mind wants to wrap its brain around something, but. We don't got the answers. We may never will.
No, that's I've had to settle with that and realize that I probably don't get to solve it, but I still get to wonder about it. I still love it.
Yeah. And
love contemplating it. When you heard that laughter, did you hear anything else? Like, did you hear anything like flying above your head, like, you know, or anything like that? Or it just the sound of the laughter went above you?
This particular area, the only thing that I would have heard, which I know we heard throughout the night, was just some trains off in the distance, because there was a railroad behind us. But I'm not sure if, like, you're talking about, like, the Oz effect, if the Oz effect happened or anything, like, total lack of noise.
If you noticed anything else at all.
That had our attention and priority right away when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I was really paying attention unless it was baby laughter. I didn't really hear anything crunch around. Like, I feel if I heard something move in the woods. I mean, we were so on edge that we would have just jumped out of our shoes anyway. So I don't believe that we did hear anything else.
Did it sound like it was moving, like, through the sky above you?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't sound like one source. It sounded more like a mass, if that sounds like makes any sense. Like, it's not like it was coming from one mouth. It was coming from, like, it didn't move from one side to the other, but it was like the closest thing I could say is a flutter.
Right.
Because it was like a very wide source, lots of different laughs, and it was in motion. We all say that it went from right to left across from what we could hear. That was, I can't put any any thought to what that could cause that.
No. But
again, it was just like the paralyzing fear that I got too. It was the same stuff I would get with sleep paralysis too. So it's like almost, I feel like it had to be some type of projection. We also, you hear that a lot with people that they talk about they get the spine tingle, they get the fear mm-hmm. before something happens. Like some part of me thinks that maybe it's not so much the effect, but the cause sometimes, because maybe your mind's in a different set than it usually would. So you're in tune to a different wavelength that you normally wouldn't. I don't have the answers for it. I don't know.
No, it's what the baby sounds are one of the things, you know, you get baby sounds, women screaming, car door slamming. Those are the big ones in various paranormal things across the board. So kind of checks a box.
I hope to one day see the bunny man.
Well, if you do, you know, this is your first stop.
Yeah, no, I'll let you know. But no bunny man, no UFOs, unfortunately. I'd like to see one someday, but they don't want to make themselves a bit apparent to me. So I just guess I gotta stick with shadow people and weird stuff that makes it awkward at parties to talk about.
Well, Ed, thanks for sharing your stories.
Hey, thanks. Thank you so much for having me. Keep up the great work.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
It sounds like sawing in the background. It's our rabbit.
She always decides to like pick up a metal bowl and like wrap it against her enclosure as if she's like in an old timey movie, a prison movie.
Work on a construction project of some sort. I think she's building an addition. So trying to stay somewhat on theme for photo of the week. Mm-hmm. We have a stereo view. He's not wearing plaid, but he is a lumberman.
I don't know, though. I think it might be all in the tinting. Let me look at that. I mean, he's not wearing plaid, though. It might be. And I can't tell in that pattern. I don't know. He's certainly wearing lumberjack attire.
Yes. And he's bearded.
Yes.
He looks flannel man-y to me.
Yeah. Is that an actual guy who's like...
Flannel man-y. That's flannel man's name. So this is a stereo view of some loggers.
And some little children, which I just now saw.
Yeah, there's children in the very, very background. It says, squaring logs in the lumber woods. It's got a flannel man type fella wielding an axe. Another fella next to him, likewise wielding an axe. Standing on top of the log they're working on. I'm not sure if that's the safest lumbering practice, to stand on top of
them. I'm pretty sure that that's not the most irresponsible lumbering practice either.
I'm sure it's not, especially back then. Squaring logs in the lumber woods, a possible flannel man on film. Not really, but he is a lumberjack. He could have had a jumping Frenchman. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool photo of some old-time lumbermen in the woods. $13. You can find it in our Etsy store. You can see it in the show notes. If you click on it, it'll take you to the Etsy shop where you can purchase the Squaring Logs in the Lumber Woods flannel man-like photograph.
Stereo views, good analog fun. You know, when the whole grid goes down, we can still look at stereo views.
Right, you get a stereo viewer and then...
a book. And then you pretty much got yourself a day and a half worth of entertainment.
Just stare at those lumbermen in 3D. Old-timey 3D. It still amazes me that they figured that out so early.
Yeah, I think isn't it based on the camera obscura and...
I'm not sure, but I mean, you said that even like the earliest daguerreotypes and stuff. It didn't take them long before they were doing stereo view daguerreotypes, which is, it's pretty amazing. As we always say, there's a photo of the week section in our Etsy shop. We have a few of the old photos of the week left. Not all of them have been purchased, so you can kind of peruse through and see which ones are still available. And of course, purchasing a photo of the week helps support the show and gets you a cool new hobby of collecting photographs as well. So I want to thank everybody who's helped us with that. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back soon with another episode of Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of
Dark Holler Arts.
You can find us at darkhollerarts.com.
Oh, okay. I was gonna the internet. Your phone.
Intro and background music is by
Stone Breath. I know that one.
And you can find Stone Breath at stonebreath.bandcamp.com if you're interested in our music. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can also join the Strange Familiars Gathering group. And we are on Instagram
at Strange Familiars.
Thanks, everybody.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.